Don Levitard.
It's a giant industry of people just giving you their opinions, which you could just go to Twitter. And there are plenty of opinions there. It's just a trough. There's the dumpster fires, and there, you know, every once in a while you get your eyebrows singed and you'll come down with an illness that'll last for a month and a terrible depression.
But yes. Sometimes you'll find out useful information, like today is Bryan Adams' birthday.
Occasionally. It's not worth it, though. It really isn't.
Stugatz.
How old is Bryan Adams?
61.
Still getting it done, right?
Still is getting it done.
Nice.
Wait, that's ambiguous.
I don't know.
That is so tepid.
I don't know what he's getting done.
I mean, he's still putting out music.
Oh, last album he turned down.
Did you mean music, or did you just mean breathing?
Still getting it done
is about as tepid a comment as you can make. Also ignorant.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Today on ESPN Daily, the latest 30 for 30, The Infinite Race, explores the story of Tara Yumara, indigenous runners in Mexico famous for running incredible distances. Did I say any of that right?
What kind of runners?
Tara Yumara.
No, what kind of
runners? Indigenous.
Yeah,
you nailed it.
All right. Indigenous runners in Mexico famous for running incredible distances. Director Bernardo Ruiz takes us inside the film on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. All right, I got that right.
So Lorenzo is filling up the chat with dancers, whether it's BTS or whether it's boy band members. Gene Kelly, Baryshnikov, Lionel Richie, he is saying, once danced on a ceiling. Michael Jackson, the Jabberwockies, Gregory Hines. So there are more dancers than just Fred Astaire and J-Lo.
Fred Astaire and Michael Jackson would be incredible gets for the Masked Dancer.
That is correct. That would be a bit amazing. Thank you, Guillermo. I appreciate all of your insights here.
And the Jabberwockies are Masked Dancers.
That is correct as well. Appreciate all your insight as well, Mike.
You'd think they would dance as the Jabberwockies, because then you'd just be like, hey, it's the Jabberwockies.
Ah, but what if it's Dave Coulier?
Or Shaq? What if Stephen A. dances with them again?
You would never know it's Shaq. It would be impossible to tell. How could you possibly tell if it was Shaquille O'Neal? He's wearing a mask. He would fool everybody, being bigger than any human being you've ever seen. Let's check in here with Christine Lisi.
And finally, women are more influenced by how a man smells rather than how he looks. Either way, Stugatz is facing an uphill battle.
Yes, he is. Yes.
My entire life.
Look at that. Yeah. She felt what sounded like remorse there.
It felt like it.
It's not the cackling evil glee that she normally has, because she's a monster. She's a monster who is cruel and vicious and carnivorous. We're all scared of her. So getting back to what it is that we were talking about the last couple of segments, Stugatz, this does become a pretty easy decision in sports when we're talking about the money train of sports being Snowpiercer. Which one you want for your future content, journalism or gambling? Because it's a pretty easy choice. It's a pretty easy pivot, Stugatz. I got to think here very soon. We are going to see an influx of sports gambling all over the place as the money. If we're going to grab for the money, making college athletes play through a pandemic, even though they're not employees.
Grab it all. I mean,
just grab it. Grab it. Let's go. We saw how bare naked all this is. And it's fair to call me on saying it's greed when it's just paying bills.
It's business, man. Business models shift. They change. Times change. And business models have to change with those times.
I know, but it all got fast-forwarded, Stugatz. We've condensed like a decade of evolution into 10 months. We've sped everything up. I've told you before here that the camera equipment that we now have in another studio, it became obsolete in the last 10 months. ESPN realized in the last 10 months, wait a minute, we don't have to be paying all these people. We could do it on a computer.
But each company is different, Dan. This company's, ESPN's, business model, their priorities have probably shifted for a million different reasons. But journalism still means something somewhere. The Athletic would love to have someone like Tom Rinaldi or someone like yourself, or someone who wants to do journalism.
It's all shrunken, though. Journalism is content is shrunken. That's the result of what you have seen the last 4 years, and a hatchet being taken to the credibility of the press. No matter what you think of the press, when I pick up the Sunday New York Times, you could say it's liberal, you could have your political leanings. What I am watching is a work of extraordinary competence. What is coming into my home is the best of what it is that I have seen in my life, the sculpted skill of journalism that I have cared about, whether you want to call it the failing New York Times. What I am getting is an extraordinary competence. It has value to me, but I have been made sadder and sadder over the last few years as I've seen the value of that shrink for America, as I've seen the value of that and what it represents holding power accountable shrink in America, as I've seen Bezos grab every dollar that's available, and now the Washington Post is just a toy over here on the side while they continue to try to do work. And I get scared for the future of democracy that you remove one of the checks and balances and you allow the billionaires and the corporations to have the morals and you tell them, yeah, we'll trust you to do the right thing. When, you know, when we did that South Beach session with David Simon of The Wire, he's like, I'm done waiting for billionaires to do the right moral thing that protects freedom or democracy. Like, what we have seen in our streets over the last few months is scary. It's all gotten fast forwarded in a way that I was not expecting in 10 months.
I do find it interesting that we are getting further and further away from your heaven and closer to mine.
It's how you're going to always win.
Where it's gambling and games.
At every step of the way, Stu Gatz is going to retire the biggest winner in this whole thing, wearing a hat with sweat on it, not shaving for 6 months, lying to you at every turn, corporate sponsored up the wazoo.
Yes!
And asking me during the last break, hey, can I start Cameo before January 5th?
Yes! The answer was no, but yes!
That was during the break, Mike. He asked me, can I get on Cameo early? Will anyone notice? Will anyone see it? Will I get in trouble? I'm already leaving. Can I start grabbing the dollars now? Chris, you've been looking through Stu Gatz's likes on Twitter. Mike, does this have any imaging or is this something that we've just not done in a long time? And so I'm just going to Chris here. I have no idea what he has. Stu Gatz, if you haven't joined us or heard this before, Stu Gatz likes things on Twitter without knowing that we can see what he's liking on Twitter. I believe we created this segment after Kurt Rambis stumbled into some porn on Twitter, which I then imagine him watching through goggles, because every time I think of Kurt Rambis, I think of goggles. Nothing but goggles is what I ended up imagining. Him in front of the Twitter machine wearing only goggles while sitting at a desk chair, like Jeffrey Toobin. Chris, what do we have here? Because I don't know whether Mike can find the imaging in time, and I'm honestly not sure if this has imaging, and I guess maybe he'll just play it whenever it is that he finds it. Chris, what do you have on Stu Gatz's likes?
I have four tweets just from yesterday. In the past, we've done this where I've gone through all his likes and found the best stuff, and I feel like these four tweets just, you know, they're Stu Gatz in a nutshell. The first one: how to get your golf swing on a plane. This simple drill is the answer.
Yeah,
it's just a video of a stupid golf drill.
Yeah. This is what keeps golf magazines alive, correct?
It does, yeah. And let me explain something to you. The swing plane, while no one understands it, is the most important part of your game, okay?
All right, and then we move on to just football. He liked Andrew Siciliano tweeting out week 15 elimination scenarios for 7 teams.
You see why I can never know what it is that you're liking? It's you fair. Make fun of me about Andrew Bogut and whether you saw something, but I can never guess what it is that you're stumbling upon. What is that he liked? Andrew Siciliano's what?
Dallas is out. Dallas is out with a loss, or Washington and Arizona win.
Why were you liking that? What is
You have to have the playoff scenarios, Dano. You just have to. It's that time of year.
Billy, elimination scenarios, Dan. Elimination scenarios.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the next one, this is perfect. He liked the Tim McMahon tweet about the James Harden article.
Oh, no,
I did?
No, so you liked it but didn't read it. I asked you about it. If you'd read it, and you said, why would I read it?
I'm getting to it.
Mike, do you have the imaging there? You can't find the imaging. What else do you have, Chris?
And then the final one is the article, Is There a Gold Mine Waiting for Radio on Cameo? How Kevin from The Office Made $1 million on Cameo in 2020.
I'm coming for you, Kevin.
He's getting to your money.
Don Lebatard.
You were pretty insistent that Doug Brown's nickname is the Duke. I thought that that was somebody else's nickname who has passed away, a South Florida update guy. Is your nickname indeed the Duke?
It is not, and I'm shocked that you guys have forgotten the great Dan Davis. His nickname was the Duke.
Oh.
He passed away.
No, he did not.
Oh, wow, that's $50? Fine.
That's $50.
That is a maximum penalty.
That is $50.
You killed the Duke.
You killed him. Oh, my God.
All right, now play the happy kazoo music.
Stugatz.
I did not mean to kill Dan the Duke Davis.
Maybe you should apologize to him.
I can't apologize
enough.
Get
him on.
Is he still alive? No, I did hit again.
Do you have a number for the Duke?
Why'd you walk into that one again?
Oh, my God, $100.
$100 fine.
Oh, my God.
$100.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. We'll get to conversational in a second here, but it is time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
We don't have very many shows around here left, so if you want your Stupidity and your South Beach Sessions and you want your Mystery Crate and you want the radio show daily, Lebatard and Friends Podcast Network, go seek it out, okay? Because this monster platform that ESPN has been kind enough to extend to us for this one remaining month has just a few shows left, and so if you want whatever it is we're going to be making in January, after January 4th, make sure to find, and I know many of you are tired of hearing me say it, but I'm going to keep telling you because listeners rotate over time and not everyone hears everything, and so I need to get the message out there that if you're somebody who cares about what we do and you're going to look up January 5th and you're going to be like, oh, wait, I get this on the ESPN app, I get this on ESPN Plus, where'd it go? I'm telling you right now all you need to know so that you can just keep getting all this stuff the way that you've been getting it. I'm getting a lot of complaints here.
About?
About the amount that we're talking about James Harden. And I just want to ask the sincere question because I certainly know all about being a critic without solutions. I've made a healthy living at being a critic without solutions. But I am legitimately curious how the audience would say someone should be talking about sports today if not talking about James Harden. Do you have, I mean, you want me to break down Raiders for you? The Raiders are for real because we've been having that conversation for 10 years. We got Thursday night football. What are my sports options on where you would go? Billy wants to talk about how he thinks Cameo is going to kill Stugatz. Is it?
Really?
Yes.
What?
Yes. It's way too many videos. Like way, way too many videos. I did very simple math. Because Kevin from The Office, you keep telling us, made $1 million on Cameo, right? He charges $195 a video. Mm-hmm. Now, assuming all of that money went to Kevin, which I'm sure it doesn't because that's not how Cameo would make money if they give you all the money, he'd have to make 5,128 videos in the year to get to $1 million. Now, Chris sent me a calculator that tells you how much money or how many videos you have to make if you charge $195 a video. So, guys, you have to make 6,838 cameos a year. That's a full-time job for you. How are you going to make that many videos?
I'll just charge $5,000. I mean, that solves that.
There you go.
Yep.
It does solve that. I think that you might slightly overestimate your value,
we'll
but I
see.
I might have it. I mean, you're going to test the market. We'll all see together whether or not Stugatz's laziness ends up sabotaging him because This one's a tricky one. Stugatz with freedom is dangerous. You can't allow...
Oh, the most dangerous form of Stugatz.
It is. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is Stugatz with freedom the most dangerous incarnation?
No, Stugatz with Murph.
Stugatz with Murph as well. Partying Murph who has purple teeth because he drinks too much wine in the morning.
I'm trying to think what would excite me more if I got one request for a $5,000 cameo video or I just got request after request after request for a $20 cameo video. I don't know. I mean, that one $5,000 cameo video.
Well, wow. rest assured you're not going to get a whole bunch of people offering $5,000 for a video. I saw one with Jose Canseco the other day, and he just seems so lazy and bored. He might as well just rummage around in your pockets when you're not looking, just sort of muttering to himself.
But at $5,000 to reach that number and break records, I only need to shoot like 10 videos.
Well, you saw Smokey Robinson the other day, and happy Chinooka to all of you out there. You saw Smokey Robinson be a little bit sort of confused by what to say, as if he was doing cameo for the first time. He's 80 years old, and he was like, hey, let's just play the whole thing, because as funny as Happy Chinooka is, the whole thing is funny just because he's wandering around, and he realizes he's not talking to anybody. So it's how you doing multiple times, courtesy of cameo.
Hey, Marco, how you doing? Surprise, surprise. This is Smokey Robinson. I know you didn't expect to hear from me, but I was contacted by your sons, Jeff and Jerry, and they told me that you used to live in Detroit across the street from me, and gosh, that's beautiful. How are you doing again? Nice talking to you again, I guess. But anyway, you're living in Vancouver now, and they wanted me to wish you happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka because they said so.
That's amazing.
Anyway, God bless you, babe. And enjoy Chinooka. Have a wonderful time.
He's a very nice man, and he also fakes it so very much better than a bored, indifferent Jose Canseco rummaging in your pockets, courtesy of cameo.
What's up, Steve? Jose Canseco here. I want to wish you a happy birthday, and I know you're a huge Yankees fan. I played with them for about 3 months. Didn't play much. It was a terrible time. And I know you love the Dan Lebatard show. Yeah, the only thing I don't like about that, it's a good show. He's got his dad. His dad barely speaks English, and it kind of looks funny because they're in Miami. Kind of looks ridiculous. By the way, I guess hashtag Team Steve, whatever that means, and that Steak Sauce loves him. Steak Sauce loves you, loves him, whatever that means. Later, buddy.
No, he's in his car. I just...
What happened to his voice?
Well, what I'm not surprised at by...
Was that Ozzy?
It could have been Ozzy. It is not surprising in any way that Jose Canseco, not great at ad-libbing, made of a bit of starch there. Just didn't really... Like, that is representative of what his playing career was. Just 3 months with the Yankees. I'm going in the box. I got needles all over my body. I'm not playing very much. Let me give you just some bored, indifferent talk so that I could just have a few cents from your bank account.
Dan Lebatard.
Texter writes in, been listening to you guys from the beginning and just saw you on TV for the first time. Wow, Dan looks like he has a bag of nickels in his cheeks. And Stugatz looks really unhealthy.
Stugatz.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's because I am.
Yeah, and it's because I do.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
Mike Ryan was just laughing at something Christine Lisi said. We will get back to that in a second because rare is the time that the PED use is as obvious as something that she was skimming over there. The way the Russians were running in that World Cup, all of them were clearly robots on speed who didn't fatigue. It's so rare for you to see in the second half of soccer a team that's getting stronger because God knows what they're ingesting at halftime.
As I was watching that matchup, it was in the knockout stages. It was in the home country of Russia against Spain. And Spain's whole style is to pass it and make you work and get you dog tired. And Russians, remember, this match went to penalty kicks. Russia.
They just wouldn't stop
they
running.
They would not stop running.
It was crazy. It was like a puppy that has energy that you just can't.
T-1000 and Terminator.
Stop. Just please stop.
They were running like Tom Cruise and Will Smith in movies. It was ridiculous.
It was. No sweat, no fatigue, running at totally the same speed the way one of those robots that they're making now, those robot dogs that can just move and never get tired.
And it seems like they could do it all day. Like,
yes,
is that the deal?
No, not seems. They were doing it all day, and I'm sure they were doing it at night. It's like they were snorting soccer and incapable of fatiguing.
Who are these players? Where have they gone?
Christine, please continue.
And finally, on average, you'll have 3,000 thoughts every day. Now back to somebody who considerably brings down that average.
Yes.
Yeah.
All by himself.
Proudly, by the way.
I want to profitably.
Yes.
I want to talk about PEDs for a second because, Stugatz, there is rarely a time when it's quite as obvious as the Russians. It became pretty obvious in retrospect only on Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds. We had to inform ourselves. Had a fascinating conversation with Sally Jenkins on South Beach Sessions where she talked about how silly sports fans, customers, media, how ignorant sports fans, customers, media are about the culture of competition and cheating and how we rain down judgment on these things when competitionaholics are going to go looking for any advantage they can, pharmacy, medicine, any, you know, anything they can find to get better at what they do in a fight for dollars.
Especially, I was going to say, when there's fame and money at the end of that.
But the reason I wanted to bring this up is because the thing that Max Kellerman has been saying on First Take for many, many years is the way that a quarterback slips precipitously into old age has been something that's been very consistent and looks a lot like what you're seeing from Ben Roethlisberger right now, where he can't throw the ball down the field. They're trying to hide him. It's all short throws. Ben Roethlisberger, not known as taking care of himself or his body, but that's how a quarterback ages. That's what it looks like. And Tom Brady will tell you that he's got all sorts of ways that he keeps his body healthy, that he goes to extremes that other quarterbacks don't go to in terms of making sure his fascia is right, his nutrition is right, his discipline is right, his rigidity is right. And it serves him to feed what can be the truth or can be mythology about how he's aging differently than anyone we've ever seen at the position. And we don't ask any questions.
Nope.
There are zero questions asked. When you are willing to watch Cal Ripken Jr. in an All-Star game hit a home run and you wonder whether the pitcher grooved it because it's cynicism, because he wanted to have – baseball wanted to have its moment, and people are willing to attach a skepticism to that moment and say that pitch was thrown on purpose so that Cal Ripken Jr. could have his big All-Star moment. You'll apply the cynicism there, but it doesn't feel like any of you are applying the cynicism – at a position where someone is defying youth in a way we have simply never seen in the history of the sport, because the mythology is so strong about him. 9-part series coming up on Winter Guy on, it's ESPN, right? The 9-part series.
I believe so, yeah.
On Tom Brady, meant to replicate The Last Dance. Where, Stugatz, you tell me, because one of the things that's the most obvious thing in the world to me is in sports that hurt, and in sports where you need healing, I have got to assume that all of our sports are slathered in HGH. I'm not even judging it. You want things to stop hurting. I get it. It's right. Available to me on any number of corners here in South Florida where you could just get your HGH. I think sports is slathered in this stuff in a way that's underreported. The way it was underreported when we weren't talking about Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa having stuff that helped them.
This is a tricky one. Because football is so physical and so painful, and everyone knows that, do we care less about the guys doing whatever they have to do to heal their bodies for our entertainment?
I would say that's an excellent rationalization for looking away when you don't want to judge people as cheaters. Okay. When people in sports are forever being judged as cheaters. I've told you before, I don't judge this stuff. To me, it's totally understandable that Tom Brady wants a fountain of youth. Like, who wouldn't want to be at the center of the gladiator spectacle for as long as they possibly can? Peyton Manning was out there, 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, couldn't move his neck, had all sorts of fusions. Of course, he's going to get something that relieves the pain for that. However he had arrived at pain relief, I'm not here to judge it. Whether it's against your rules of morality or not, who among us wouldn't want a fountain of youth? But Tom Brady specifically, Stu Gatz,
yep,
that fountain of youth gets to be pristine with no questions as he ages differently than anyone in the history of aging.
But here's the other thing that makes it tricky. There are a handful of quarterbacks who are doing exactly the same thing.
It's just him and Breeze.
Well, how come no one's questioning Drew Breeze?
But that's not a handful. That's two.
I mean, even Roethlisberger has 29 touchdowns and 9 interceptions this year. Aaron Rodgers is getting closer to 40, and he's still playing at an MVP level. I mean, there are a bunch of quarterbacks who are playing well past, and when we were growing up, it was like 34, 35, 36, you're done.
38, 39 has been for a while, and I'm willing to allow that medicine can help in regards there, and science, and knowing so much about the body. And Tom Brady, I am sure, takes care of his body in an uncommon way, but he's 5 years past when other guys would decline in a way that was obvious to the eye, as obvious as the Russians running around in that soccer game.
It's not just the medicine and the treatment improving, too. The rules have also
changed
to make these careers a little bit longer.
But Patrick Mahomes is a great example. If indeed down the road he does whatever he does to keep himself playing longer, why would you want that to go away? The NFL is a better place when we have Aaron Rodgers. It's a more entertaining league when Aaron Rodgers is involved, when Tom Brady is there, when Drew Brees is there.
Already gotten to the present evolution of the position if the NFL and these particular star quarterbacks hadn't been so famous and powerful that they've been carrying the league well past what has always before been the end of their careers. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees playing at the end. Again, I tell you, Peyton Manning, 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, just hanging on. If someone's had back fusion, and I tell you, if the fusing, you saw how he was throwing the ball. He didn't seem like he can move his head from side to side because of however it is that he's stitched Frankenstein monster together by surgeries. If I tell you that person is finding a cream that helps him get out there on Sundays to hang on to the last vestiges of his identity and his youth. Like, who the hell are you to judge it?
Splash!
I mean, you might be the fan of the losing team. I mean,
I just love the idea of Peyton Manning. You're listening to this right now and you're saying, damn, Le Batard, this is criminal. Have some morals. I just love the idea of Peyton Manning in uniform walking into your office when you're 37 years old and you love your work and saying, hey, don't do that thing to get better. Even though everybody else is doing that thing to get better and all the carnivores out there want your job.
Or when you're on the decline at like 55, 60 and someone walks in, Peyton walks in and says, hey, this can bring you back to when you were 30 and you'll squeeze another 10 years out of this.
I know what it's like to hang on too long, man. Highly questionable should have ended 2 years ago for me.
Don Le Batard.
People in sports who most look like a Flintstones character. Brady Hoke, Mike McCarthy, Brett Bielema. Evan Gattis, that's where this started.
Stu Gatz.
Gattis looks more like Barney. Brady Hoke looks more like Fred. It does. I researched this, Dan.
What?
By research, I did an image search, and I'm telling you that Gattis looks more like Barney.
This is the Don Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Cuervo has a tequila train that you can go to a distillery with the Cuervo train, $114, all you can drink. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Does $114 all you can drink sound like a good idea to you?
Sounds dangerous.
Well, Cuervo, among the tequilas, Cuervo is not the greatest of the tequilas. $114, you are getting what you pay for there.
There was a time where Cuervo was really the only tequila, the go-to tequila. I mean, there was.
It was my choice in college when
when
we were broke and didn't have any money. It was Cuervo.
Wait, you're saying $114 like that's low? Because that seems really high to me. Like, all I can't drink $114 worth of anything and die.
All you can drink on a train that goes to a distillery, Billy, I know that Miami Beach is not a place that you get to very much. That's four drinks. That's four drinks on Miami Beach. $114 worth of drinks is affordable if you're on a train and it's all you can drink. It's unlimited mimosas. That I'm not saying that $114 isn't a lot of money. I'm saying $114 sitting on a train for as long as you want drinking is not a lot of money.
But I think Billy's concern is the amount of tequila you would drink for $100.
Yeah,
you want to try to get your money's worth, and like that much tequila could kill
Don't
you.
Don't underestimate me on the tequila front.
Yeah, you'll make the numbers work.
I'll figure out a way to make that value.
It's got to include food, right? I mean, it's a steep price for tequila. I'm with Billy.
All right, put it on the poll then, Guillermo. Is $114 for all you can drink tequila on a train on the way to distillery too high or too low?
It's all you can drink, right? So the rules are you could just ride around this. You make it your own personal snow piercer.
Just nothing, no food, just all of your consumption is the $114. Did I ever tell you guys the story? I sat in the Bahamas. I did not know about how to budget money. I did not know adulthood. I did not know anything in the Bahamas. And I ran out of money gambling, and I didn't have any way of having credit. And I'd wrecked the moped I was on and was bleeding through the long shirt elbows that I wore in the Bahamas.
Sounds like a hell of a trip,
in the Bahamas, so that the people that I was returning the moped to didn't notice that I had wrecked their moped. But they noticed when they saw the blood coming through again on my elbows through a long sleeve shirt I was wearing in the Bahamas. I ended up at a KFC for about 24 hours just drinking free refill sodas. What? Because I didn't have any money left, and I was just done. That's right. One of the saddest days of my life.
You slept there?
I thought you'd be drinking the gravy.
I was 47 years old.
Yeah! All right. Yes.
You mentioned money, and we don't have time for this, unfortunately, today, but I don't know if it aired on Highly Questionable, but I had a conversation with Dominique and Bomani that was interesting and funny because I don't remember what we were talking about, but it was something related, Stugatz, to your idea that the money in sports solves things for people, and when Chris Davis of the Orioles is striking out 500 times in a season, that he goes home and counts his money and doesn't feel the shame of how much it hurts to be terrible at your job in public.
It softens the blow. That's all I've ever
said. Well, but the conversation we were having is what money does for happiness. Does money help with the down payment? Because some of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life tend to be very wealthy. And so the conclusion that we came to is that money doesn't necessarily buy you happiness, though it can help with the down payment on it. But not having money can really help with the unhappiness. That I think we need to change the cliche. Yes. The worst thing is not having money, then having money, then being broke. That's the worst. There is nothing. That is absolutely the worst. But
Because you know what it's like. Yes.
Money doesn't buy you happiness, but not having money, being broke buys you unhappiness. Like,
because, well, there'll always be someone to challenge that, though.
No, I feel like being broke, I feel like not being able to afford basic things and worrying about your bills. I think it's truer to say that being broke buys you unhappiness than it is to say money can buy you happiness. Don't be broke, kids.